So the title of my conversation today with you is Geographic Disparity in Smoking and COPD Mortality. So is there anybody here who doesn't like maps? So I'm assuming everybody loves maps, that otherwise you wouldn't be here, right? And you came to see maps. So maps I've got for you. I've got more maps than you can even imagine. So I have no conflict of interest to share, to declare here. So my objective today is to talk about four basic concepts. One is, we talk about prevalence of COPD in the United States first. Then we talk about demographic associated with that. We talk about mortality, and we look at the pattern of mortality by as sub-jurisdictional possible when it comes to geography. And also, we talk about strategies that you could have as you work in your state, a possible strategy to address tobacco smoking. Now, this is not a podium to bash tobacco smokers. The podium is to, for us as a public health professional, to share ideas that when we go back, we say, okay, well, that's one angle that I can use in my state. So that's the angle that I'm coming to. So if you look at the chronic lower respiratory diseases as the number three leading causes of death, the pattern in the past decade or so appears to be very flat, doesn't it? So this flatness, if you do a statistical analysis, like trend, the coefficients of the linear line is flat as it could be, almost zero. So you would say, okay, well, you know, that the rate doesn't go up or down in terms of mortality. So this is that tip of iceberg as far as COPD is concerned. You look at mortality. So in this context, but very surprisingly, as COPD is one of the subcategories of the chronic lower respiratory diseases. So COPD is a sub. So, you know, other things that is included in here would be bronchitis, for example, and asthma. So if you look at national statistics when it comes to asthma mortality, did you see that line previously way up there? Now the asthma is way down here, and the scale has changed. So let me go back again quickly to see whether this works. Okay, so the scale is in 40-some, whereas when you come here, the scale is in 1.5 and 1. So it's very minuscule. To put this in perspective, I asked the question of what percent of mortality of chronic lower diseases are associated with COPD, and what percentage of them are, or the distributions, is related to asthma. So you can see easily 96.2% of chronic lower respiratory diseases mortalities are made out of COPD. COPD make the bulk of it. So if you look at the pattern in COPD or look at the pattern in chronic lower respiratory diseases, it's the same pattern. So what happened over time? From 1999 to 2012, not only we already seen the rate remains the same, not only we have the same pattern, but also the portion of the chronic lower respiratory diseases that make up the number three leading causes of death in the United States is made up more of the COPD than other diseases, such as asthma and bronchitis. So this should be a point of saying, we're doing a great job of lowering asthma mortality. Why couldn't we do the same with the COPD? The next one shows the trend over time when it comes to COPD in general, although it says a general increase since 2000, but the portion distributed is the same. Now I'm giving these statistics a number. So annually we're talking about anywhere from 122,000 to 143,000 deaths due to chronic lower respiratory diseases, of which Sorry. This is percent of total death due to chronic lower respiratory diseases and COPD. Sorry. So let's retract the conversation in a second. So I want to show that of the total mortalities, what portion associated with these third leading causes of death? It's only 5%. So in more recent years, it's 5.6%. So that portion is increasing too. So what are the other portion that is dropping? Heart disease, stroke, those were used to be the leading. So the heart disease mortality has been going down. Stroke mortality has been going down. But COPD now is going up. Portion of the total mortality. This is just by numbers. So in terms of COPD mortality rate, when you look over time by different demographic, race, for example, you see that the leading group of individuals with higher mortality to COPD is white population, then American Indians, and so forth and so on. So there is a disparity per se here. These are all rate, adjusted rates, so for comparison you see that. So which group of people having more of a mortality or carry the burden of the COPD mortality than others. And when you look at by gender, there's a glaring indication that clearly the male mortality rate due to COPD has been dropping over time. So the message is getting across perhaps lowering tobacco smoking, particularly among male, has caused this drop. And you'll see that in our conversation later on, as our colleagues will talk about the number one culprit in COPD, as tobacco smoking is. And so as the rate of smoking drops, so is the chronic lower respiratory diseases mortality, and so is the COPD. So for male, this rate has been declining, and it is significant, so meaning statistically that rate is significant. Female mortality due to COPD has been increasing. Although the rate is not, or I should say the rate of change over time, is not statistically significant, but it is an increasing rate. So there are more people dying, female dying from COPD than male, of course. In rate, but there are more male dying from COPD than female. The statistics that you see today, it just became available last week as far as 2012 data is concerned, so some of them are still digesting, see, so what does it mean in general. So over a lifespan, if you will, COPD is mortality between male and female, and you already seen that males are dying more than female. So if you look at it over lifespan, you see the older you get, the likely the chance of mortality due to COPD. Clearly, this is a later age issue. And now we get to the maps that you were wondering. So by county, if you look at, let's say, 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, so the question that I had in mind to stipulate an answer for was, if you look at mortality due to COPD by county across the United States, where are the areas that you can see, and you can shout out the name of the states or region that you think has the highest concentration of COPD mortality by county? The unit of analysis is county now. All age adjusted, so they are comparable across. So, you know, if there's a retirement community that has more of an older families or older individuals in that community, it's age adjusted, so it's very much comparable with the other. So, you know, that argument of because Missouri has a lot of retirement people, or Hilton Head in South Carolina has a lot of older people in there. Therefore, the mortality among those individuals, if they are COPD patients, which should go up. Well, when you age adjust, you remove that complications. So what do you think it is? So what I'll do is I'll just go forward with the number of the years. So these are moving three-year averages. And you see that there are some counties popping up and down all the way to 2011 and 12, right? So the changes that I noticed over these, now I can go back and re-narrate it again, but I have 40 some slides. You don't want to do that with every slide that I do. But clearly, let me see if I can, okay, clearly in this area we have higher burden of mortality due to COPD than anywhere else. Do you agree with that statement? I specifically kept the breakdown of the categories fixed in order to be able to look over it over a period of time. So there are some pockets here and there. And so Nevada, of course, you know, Las Vegas and Reno, and so you can see some of that as well. And you have Dallas, Texas. Well, this is more like southern part of Arkansas, because this is Texas area and Louisiana, and so you have Arkansas, Missouri. So is this Missouri? No, this is Oklahoma. This is Arkansas. This is Missouri, and so you have the entire eastern part of like West Virginia and Kentucky and maybe northern Alabama and part of southern Alabama. All right, so that's the disparity that we were talking about. So if you look at state as a unit of analysis, all of the state that I mentioned pop up right here, right? So you can see now clearly that it doesn't matter whether you do it by subgeographic and more, and I'll tell you why we did it by subgeographic in a second. So does that mean I have 5 minutes? But that doesn't mean I have 5 minutes. You're going to kick me first and then put the number? All right, thank you. So I'm going back to that same graph that I showed you earlier to show you that if you do the analysis by state, some of the counties that you have looked at earlier on, let's say in Nevada, for example, that if you had your way of making any type of an intervention or initiating an intervention there, then you would know where to focus on rather than just having it statewide. So in this context, public health becomes a little more surgical in approach. And we have seen this through CDC funding that they want us, or I should say funders want us to focus a little more on our sub-geographic area. The days of the public health that we shotgun spray everything to everyone on earth is gone. So we have to be a little more selective in terms of our approaches. And if you'd like to talk about this issue later, I'll be happy to engage you. So I talked about the culprit, right? So this is one of those interesting pictures, although it's fading. I think the data is very new and fresh. This is our colleagues at the Nielsen. We enable us to generate information like this. So I'll explain this. This is a little bit. It takes a little bit of time to explain what it really shows. So if you pay attention only to the pink, or in this case, pink area, which it says high. Imagine you want to select a county to put an intervention in place, and that intervention would have a two standards of selection in mind. So one of those standards is, I ask, which area of the state of South Carolina has highest per week tobacco purchase per household? So this is percent of household purchasing tobacco habit. And you're thinking, are they monitoring my purchasing? Of course we are. We're in a capitalistic society, right? We're supposed to know exactly what each of us are using and preferring. And so through this system, we're able to measure purchasing habit of households by even census tract. Then I asked the second question, and I said, so are these people really using the tobacco cessation products, aids, are also a consumer product, right? So if they are not using tobacco cessation product, then that would be a good place. So they're high users of tobacco product and low users of tobacco cessation products. And if you reverse this process, life would be good, right? How do we get them to use more tobacco cessation product and less tobacco product? And that's where we want. So if you focus on those counties that are pink here, then that would be a little better. So we have devised this suggestion to our tobacco control people. Said, you may, since you're deciding on where to focus your media, perhaps it would be good to focus on this particular county or that particular county. But of course, they haven't seen this. These are 2014, and our analysis goes sub-county, so where people live. And I'll show you that in a little bit. So not that this map is clear to you, let me show you what does it look like at the national level. So now I have Nielsen's data showing that high tobacco use. So my definition of high tobacco use by household is 7 packs or more per week. So that's the definition. Coincidentally, the same pattern of distribution occur in those states that we just mentioned. Mortality due to COPD. Now, if I would have shown you this first to say that this is mortality, you would have believed it, right? So now you see that exactly tobacco use, tobacco utilization, purchasing power, and mortality to COPD. Almost the same area. There are some exceptions. But so when you zoom in for South Carolina, this is what you see for tobacco use. But see, the picture is only imperfect because there's only one of those standards that I mentioned is in this picture. The second standard has to do with tobacco cessation aid, purchasing power. So this is a percent of household that purchased tobacco cessation aid within last week. So this is weekly consumption. And again, you know, there are some similar patterns, but I think the counties that appear in here are adjacent to the counties that having high percentage of utilization. But of course, you know, in the field of tobacco, there is that issue with the individuals repeating over and over in order to quit their smoking, but they're not very successful or they have challenges. So if you focus on that particular issue in South Carolina, you see the upper state, upper counties near the North Carolina borders. And of course, I blame them on the North Carolina folks. So, you know, it's not really South Carolinians having to do these issues. So it's them. So in terms of cost, in terms of purchase, how much did we spend? From Nielsen's, this is what we can also do. Calculate what was the purchasing per week of those 7 plots that I mentioned, but total consumption of the tobacco product. Tobacco, cigarette smoking. This is cigarette alone. Tobacco. Sorry, tobacco. So in this context, you see that some of the lower, less populated states appears to be spending less, starting for 3.9 million all the way to 7 point whatever per week expenditure by public. And then going to the bigger states, more population, and of course you expect that. And then so in 1 week, U.S. spend $1.9 billion per week on tobacco. $1.9 billion per week. So if you multiply that by 52 weeks, you'll get $98 billion. Now I know why there is such a battle over not making people stop, because there is a good reason. So earlier on, I indicated to you that if you zoom in a little closer, you see those high, low, issues. So in this case, pink indicates high, meaning high consumptions of tobacco and high consumption of tobacco cessation. And so this is that prescriptive direction for our colleagues in the health department to focus on. So one idea that we had, we thought maybe if we generate a couple of maps or two or three maps with some sort of a layering capability and disseminate that to our colleagues across the country, they can generate their own type of innovations that I just talked about. And so behind that thought was a sort of a community commons concept, if you've ever been on that website for the mapping and so forth. So we're thinking about doing that, and we have clearance from the from our colleagues at Nielsen that we can generate that and share it with you and generally with all. In that context, the only stumbling block is my GIS colleague is sort of dragging their feet. So, you know, I think we can overcome that in a few minutes. So the last couple of slides that I have, which has to do with COPD prevalence in the United States. So this is prevalence of COPD. Now this is adult individuals responding to this. And I'm going to go fast through these to show you a couple of points, and then I'll even skip my conclusions because I'm supposed to stop. So male-female COPD prevalence, there are more female than male. In terms of racial disparity, there is this racial disparity in terms of COPD prevalence. These are 2013 data. In terms of household income and education, you can use either one of them as, and so COPD prevalence is not an equal opportunity. Individuals with low income are more likely to be affected than otherwise. In terms of age, you already seen the mortality. This is almost replicated of the mortality, and my conclusion. So in conclusion, I would say that chronic lower respiratory diseases are the third leading cause of death, as you know, nationally. So in some states, they're number four. I think their stroke's still high, like South Carolina. COPD portion of the chronic lower respiratory disease mortality makes up about 97% of the total mortality. COPD mortality rate has remained fairly stable. Males' COPD trend has downwarded, but females are upwarding. And COPD mortality geography distributions indicates that there has been a sort of a concentration on more like the South and Mid-Atlantic states. The cost is rising along with the prevalence of the COPD. And potential use of market research analysis, the Nielsen database that I mentioned to you, is great for devising any kind of a strategy in order to combat future COPD diseases. And I'll stop. Thank you.